Coming up on TMS, let's see how Brian does it, a little morning trivia.
Burger King buys Tim Hortons.
Weird. Airline goes down because people are horrible.
Full House is coming back, baby.
Oh, no. Neil Young files for divorce after 36 years.
Oh, man, look at my life. I'm a lot like you are.
Recommendals.
Tom's Tech Time.
Your emails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
I've been playing daughter roles for so long that people forget I'm grown up with kids of my own. I'm certainly grown up enough to know that soap can dry out your face. So I wash with Noxzema skin cream every day. Noxzema makes my face feel really clean. It doesn't dry, puts moisture in, makes my skin feel soft, younger looking. I've been washing with Noxzema for a long time now and, well, so far so good.
Good skin starts with Noxzema every day. Greaseless, medicated Noxzema skin cream.
Ew, hipsters.
The Morning Stream.
The Morning Stream. Rambling goes in, podcast comes out. You can't explain that.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Stream. It's Wednesday, August 27, 2014, and it's the 666 episode.
Oh, my God.
I don't know why it's like Halloween here. I don't know why I did that.
You have a different definition of 666.
How many? You know how it used to be real popular to be the devil? You get the horns and the pitchfork and stuff for Halloween? You don't see that as much anymore, I don't think. Kind of falling out of favor.
No, that's totally true. It's like, you're totally right.
Wonder why that is.
Because it's not scary enough. You know? It used to be like, oh my gosh, that kid's all dressed in red with plastic horns and a pitchfork.
Mm-hmm. Now it's all like, nerdy stuff, right?
Now like, they dress worse than that in regular life. So
I see.
If they want to look like the devil, they do it during their regular life.
That's right. And you can do it now with us on TMS for episode 666.
Today play this episode backwards and let us know what it sounds like.
Yep, there'll be backwards backmasking on this this episode.
In secret hidden places.
I love it. And then there'll be, later on, we'll sacrifice a goat. We can't do people. They don't let you do that anymore.
No.
So it'll be a goat. But he'll be a horned goat, like a little devil goat.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to play
hooves.
I'm going to play Doom later. So I get a little bit of... upside down, not swastika. What's it called? Upside down pentagrams.
Pentagrams, yeah.
All hail John Carmack. All power be his. And then what else? There's got to be one other way to celebrate this Devil Day.
Tom's Tech Time and Recommendals.
Maybe that, but I think even more than that.
Some satanic music.
How about this?
Wake up, people.
Wake up. Oh, the man himself. He stepped in. Let's see if we can have a conversation with him.
And the One World Beast System.
What? Hello?
The Elevator Man.
Elevator Man.
The Elevator Man.
What's he talking about? Third Eagle of the Apocalypse. Welcome to the show.
UFOs are demons.
Oh, that's great. Who's your favorite leader?
Vladimir Putin.
Okay, great.
Is that the right way to pronounce it?
Zombies and alien abductions.
Oh, that sounds like not how I thought it was pronounced at all.
Hmm.
It's Third Eagle of the Apocalypse who wants to mention this important message before we get started. Here you go.
So if you go to Denver, don't fly by aeroplane, or else the demon horse may kill someone again.
The explosions in the background are the best.
Yep. Yeah, that was maybe his best video, his best work.
So how am I supposed to go to Denver if I'm not going to travel by aeroplane?
Well, you could drive in automobiles. Because as you know, these are
end times.
All right, great. Thanks, Third Eagle. It's good to hear from you, buddy. Thanks for helping us celebrate.
You are certainly the best of the numbered eagles.
I feel like the devil today. Let me tell you why.
All right.
So last night, I'm having a hard time nodding off. It's like trying to go to bed a little early. It's like 10:30, and that's kind of early-ish. I'm trying to get on schedule so the kids can go to bed earlier, get up fresher for school, all that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I can't do it. And Kim leans over and she goes, you know, I do have these Unisom tablets. And I've never had one of those. I always thought those was just for old people who can't sleep.
Right, commercials, the old commercials in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah, just an old lady
with her pill rocking back and forth.
Yes, the pill used to rock. You are totally. Thank you for the memory, because that is exactly my what I remember is the little rocking pill and an old lady who slept better after she took one.
Yep.
And it was always. It just felt like an Alka-Seltzer ad in the sense that it was aimed at this demographic that was so far from me that I couldn't understand who they were, you know, and I just didn't think about it. It was not like a. There were never young, hot people falling to sleep to Unisom.
Sure. No.
So, I said, "Wow, thanks." And even the color of the pill is almost like. You know how your grandmas, they used to all have their refrigerators and their ranges and all that stuff were all like that weird green, that olive green.
Avocado green.
Yeah, or sometimes like baby blue color. Well, that's what these were. They're that kind of color scheme that nobody uses for anything anymore. So even now, even today, she hands me this little pill and I'm like, oh, that is so old-timey, you know. I want to go watch episodes of Maud when I take one of these. So I take one because I think, what can these? These can't do anything to me. Sure, these can't hurt me, whatever. I took one and I slept great. I didn't wake up in the night, but I woke up this morning at 6 like I'm supposed to. Uh-huh. And I felt terrible, just kind of like a
cobwebby.
Like a big sloggy piece of meat. Like I'm just barely moving. I'm groggy as hell. Like right now, I still feel just like kind of not fat, but I just feel like heavy and just shitty. Like Unisom, dude, this stuff sucks. I don't like it. I don't like how it makes me feel. So I'm not doing that again. I'm done. I'd rather be up a little later than take that business. Is this how Unisom's always been? What's in that thing? And I looked it up. Says no, they're non-addictive, non-whatever side effects only include. Rare cases of, you know, burning pee or something. But I feel like I've got a monkey sitting on my chest. And he won't get off. And he's not even a fun monkey. He's a pissed off monkey. He's just looking at me sternly.
So what you need something that, that kind of eases you into sleep, but doesn't just like bonk you out.
Like a little
those things do, like
melatonin or something or,
Benadryl. Yeah, melatonin is what a lot of people recommend that it's kind of the natural, the more natural.
Because you make your own of that, right? Isn't that the deal? At night, you make your own melatonin or manufacture it, and if you don't get enough, you can supplement it.
Exactly, yes.
I don't know anything about this stuff, so
Cleo recommends 9 milligrams of melatonin.
9 milligrams.
Because Unisom is basically Benadryl.
Is it? Is that what that is? Because that's how Benadryl makes me feel, too, so then that makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, that's dumb. I just kind of loose. Like if there was an earthquake, I feel like I would just do like one of those. I'd be like a Weeble Wobbles, but he doesn't fall down thing where you feel like you're going to crash, but you don't. I don't like it. Like I'm on I feel like I'm on a boat right now. Just kind of.
And what sucks is like you don't shake that for half the day. Like,
no,
you're going to feel like this for quite a while.
For
don't
a while.
Operate any heavy machinery. This is not your day to drive into town, is it?
I got to know, but I got to go meet Eric for lunch. I got to drive.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Maybe it'll clear up by then. I'll get some caffeine in me and try to counteract it. But this just once again illustrates how, and it's been this way my whole life, Brian, it doesn't matter what it is, if it comes in a pill form and has any actual potency to it, stuff messes me up.
Yeah,
I just am too sensitive to chemicals and stuff.
What you got
to
do is just take it religiously, constantly, like every waking hour, and then you'll develop a desensitization to it.
Right.
Desensitization.
I think that works.
Desensitization. I don't think that's a word. By the way, Iceworm suggests to try some chamomile tea, homie, and maybe that'll work.
If I can remove the homie part, deal.
I added the homie part.
Oh, okay, great.
That was me.
All right. Well, Brian, I figured since I was in such a groggy condition that it would be my job to test your brain for some trivia.
Okay.
As you know, 25th year of The Simpsons, they're entering into their 26th season. It is now the longest scripted running television show of all time.
And that marathon's still going on?
Marathon's still going, yep, 2 weeks straight. Mm-hmm. Everyone shut up about whether you think The Simpsons is good or not. I've loved it the whole time, and I still do. So F off, everyone.
Yeah, exactly. You know what you're talking about, hipsters.
Listen, people that were born after the thing started don't count, okay? You need to be able to have seen it from... I saw it when I was 20. Or what was it? 89?
Yeah.
I was 19, 20. Mm-hmm. 19, 20. I was 19 or 20 when it launched as a full series, and I've seen it ever since, and I've been essentially an adult since I saw it. And so if you do not go through freaking puberty during The Simpsons, you have a pretty even-handed understanding that it's always been good. If you went through puberty during The Simpsons, you're the ones being buttholes about it, and I would like you to just look at what you went through chemically and then blame it on that. All right, Brian, I'm going to ask you some Simpsons trivia.
Okay.
This is Unisom anger coming out.
It is. Some rage. Some.
That pill's rocking really fast in my world. I thought it'd be fun to just throw these at you and see how you do. So here you go. You ready?
I'm ready.
Don't click on these. I'm going to click on this.
I'm not just clicking asking. Any link or anything.
I haven't read these previously either, so this isn't like I'm, you know, trying to stick you with something hard. Here you go. Who was Lisa's first boyfriend?
Ooh.
And your choices are...
I get choices.
Yeah, too. You get choices. Martin Prince, Nelson Muntz, Olgar Langdon, or Hugh Parfield.
Oh, jeez. I remember her with Nelson Muntz.
Yeah.
Who was the first name you said?
Martin Prince. Little.
Martin, yeah.
I love to do that guy. That
yeah.
Kid.
I'm going to say, in just kind of a twist of irony, that it was Nelson.
All right.
I'm pretty sure that's wrong, but
it said cowabunga. I don't know if that means it got it right or not. Okay, anyway. Why did Bart need... Oh, that must mean you've got it right.
Okay, good.
Okay. Why did Bart need to get his appendix out? A, Jimbo punched him. B, he ate a metal crusty O. C, he got attacked by a wolf. Or D, he got hit by a car.
Oh, geez. I remember that episode. Was it that he got hit by a car and that, cause it was Mr. Burns hit him with the car and then, Dr. Hibbert said, oh, and this appendix is going to need to come out.
Is that your final answer?
That's my final answer.
Dope. It says you got that one wrong. You have four more chances to get correct answers.
Okay.
Which of these bands didn't...
It's not going to tell me what the real answer is?
It doesn't. That's the worst thing. That's the worst part. All right. Which of these bands did not appear on the show?
Hi, you don't need to call me while I'm on the show, people. Which of these bands did not appear?
Yeah. Okay. A, the Rembrandts. B, the Ramones.
I remember the Ramones.
C, Kid Rock.
Remember Kid Rock.
Or D, Cypress Hill.
Oh, jeez. So it's really between Cypress Hill and...
the Rembrandts.
The Rembrandts.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine the Rembrandts appearing on The Simpsons. I mean, you know, they had... one big Friends single hit, and then there was another one. I'm going to say it's the Rembrandts.
All right. Cowabunga, nicely done.
Good, yeah.
Your score is 10 so far. You're an 82%er. What did Hullabalooza's freak show manager send Homer when he was feeling sick? Was it A, a vet, B, an old folks home? He sent him to this place.
Okay.
C, a sea captain, or D, Billy Corgan?
It was Billy Corgan.
Was it?
I think so. This is
no. It says.
Oh shoot!
I don't know which one was right. That's the only problem with this. Maybe it'll tell me at the end.
Yeah.
Homer, you have 3 of 5. You have 3 out of 5 left. Homer won a Grammy performing with which quartet?
Oh, okay.
A, the B sharps.
B sharps. Let's hear the rest of them. Just
minus, which is like EH minus with a question mark.
Minus.
C, M Sync, or D, Baby on Board? And you say it's the B Sharps.
B Sharps. Baby on Board was their hit single. I think that was the Grammy winning single.
Correct, by the way.
Yeah.
Who said, hey, I could call my ma from up here? A, Mayor Quimby. B, Ralph Wiggum. C, Bart Simpson. Or Cletus the. Okay, you said Cletus.
Yeah. Hey, ma!
That's totally Cletus. I love Cletus. All right, who was Milhouse's first girlfriend? A, Evelyn Peters, B, Sophie O'Brien, C, Samantha Stanky, or D, Mona Stevens.
Oh my God, none of those names mean anything to me. I can't remember those characters at all.
Yeah, I don't either.
I'm just going to guess B, because if you don't know, guess B.
Dope. Got it wrong. You have 2 chances left before this thing ends. When Homer's beer was exploding in the basement, on who or what did he place the blame? A, underground mining, B, Batman, C, a bean he ate for lunch, or D, terrorists.
Batman.
Hold on. Dope, it says.
Oh.
all right. That finished. You got answered correctly 69% of the time. Mm. We use 0 hints.
There were hints?
There were hints. and your score was a 20. And sadly, it doesn't tell me all the wrong answers. That's kind of annoying.
Well. It's funny, actually, a lot of the people in the tadpole, like, they're saying Samantha Stanky was Milhouse's girlfriend. They're saying that, let's see, a vet. Well, no, everybody said, a lot of people said Billy Corgan for the...
Oh, they did?
Hullabalooza, yeah.
I think it's because we associate him so much with Lollapalooza.
Metal Crustio was definitely the winner for the
totally
for that one.
I remember that one.
And beans are what people are saying is what Homer blamed the
Like a fart.
Ironic name says Coverville, the Rembrandts did Closer to Free, Party of Five's theme. No, they didn't. That was the Bodines, my friend.
Ah, music boom, fight. Music
down
fight.
Goes ironic name.
Music fight. All right, who is the most annoying person in the world for me today? I'll tell you who. Julia Roberts.
All right.
I like her as an actress. I think she's nice. She seems attractive. She's nice. She's good. She's an actor.
She's nice. Oh, that Julia Roberts seems so nice.
I liked her in the Brockovich deal. Mm-hmm. I thought she was good in that. I thought she's good in lots of things. Okay.
She's good in the Ocean's 11, the Ocean's 11 movies, yeah. Except for the one Ocean 11 movie where she plays Julia Roberts, which is...
The middle
the
bit.
Worst thing they ever could have done.
Was the middle one, right?
It was, 12, yeah.
Terrible. Terrible movie. Third one, great. First one, great. Middle one, garbage.
Not so good, no.
It's like the reverse of Star Wars. It's like they just flipped it. Anyway, I think she's fine. I don't have a problem with her at all. And but then she got up and presented Best Actor Award at the Emmys. And she annoyed me to no end.
No.
And... I had an ice worm, the homie over there, go out and capture her giving or at least announcing that Matthew McConaughey was being nominated. And you should have seen his face. He looked just frustrated and irritated the entire time. But here's how that sounded, Brian. Tell me this doesn't drive you a little crazy. And remember, she did all the nominees in a similar way. Okay. Not showing any bias one way or the other, but
I'm trying to think. I mean, Matthew McConaughey, would she have a bias towards
I think she has the hots for him. That's the feeling I got from the clip.
I'm just trying to think, have the two of them ever been in a movie together?
I don't think so. Maybe that's it. Or maybe he's just coming off his Oscar, so she's just trying to buddy up to him because her career is kind of weird right now. but here's the clip. I'll play the clip.
You
and
need
then
somebody to play your mom in the next movie. Let me know.
Let me know, man. All right, all right. Well, here it is. I'll play it.
All right, all right, all right. Matthew McConaughey, True Detective.
Oh, my gosh. Just say the nominations.
Right, right. Are you going to give an impersonation of Walter White, too?
She kind of did. She did this for all of them. They were all... His was the most annoying. And a couple of them were just straight up where she just said, so-and-so from so-and-so, like she could care less about them and F those guys. Okay. I hated it. It bothered me.
That's irritating.
And normally this kind of thing doesn't get to me. It's like, whatever, they're on stage, everyone's nervous, you know, Adele Dazeem, whatever.
Right.
But she just irritated me. So I'm done.
There are other actresses who, you know, would be banned from ever presenting at an award show if they did that unscripted, right? If they left script, like Jennifer Lawrence gets up there and does that,
mm-hmm.
like, oh, okay, no, sorry, we're not, you're not coming to the next awards.
Well, I have a prediction.
You're not going to fall up the stairs at the next awards show.
I have a prediction that she is probably going to be one of those actresses that goes through a crazy period and that we're all going to have to be witness to it.
Oh, no, I don't think so.
I think so. I think it's coming.
Really?
Yeah, her sister-in-law just committed suicide. Her brother's kind of crazy. I think there's just we're saying, on. I'm not wishing it on her. Just think we're going to go through a period of like,
we're on the edge of a Julie apocalypse.
Yeah, tonight in the Hollywood Hills, Julia Roberts was seen running naked and bald, screaming something about whatever.
Waving an umbrella.
I think it's coming. You guys pay attention. Keep your eye on the prize. It's Stump a Trek Nerd, and it's brought to you by...
In a world where your phone calls, internet traffic, and GPS coordinates are no longer private... and our daily lives are increasingly reliant on smart devices, imagine what an artificial intelligence with access to all of these things could do. That's the premise of our indie sci-fi film, Control-Alt-Delete, which is in the last days of its Kickstarter campaign. To join the cause and get us funded, go to tiny.cc/Control-Alt-Delete before your world gets rebooted.
I wonder if that guy that makes that webcomic doesn't like when people use that
delete.
Name.
Yeah, no kidding. By the way, does Julia Roberts have a... Does she, like, you know, you can associate Tom Cruise with, you could be my wingman anytime, or you can't handle the truth.
I think it's... I know one for her. It's when Richard Gere smacks that jewelry thing shut and she screams.
Oh, really? That's like... You can't use that, a scream.
I kind of agree, but I think I can't think of anything else.
She doesn't have a... Does she have a quote?
Yeah, it's...
No, I don't know. It's... I'm trying to think. I mean, what else... What else is she in that's iconic in that way? There's probably an Aaron Brockovich line or something. I can't think of one, though.
Ironic name says, Slippery Little Sucker. I don't even know what that might be from.
Slippery Little Sucker. What is that?
I don't know.
You know what? I'm going to search it. Hold on. Slippery.
Big mistake.
Slippery Little Suckers, it says. Okay. Oh, Pretty Woman. Here we go. We'll play the clip. I got a clip.
I'm paying for this stock, Mr. Morse. You are going to be a very rich man.
I'm rich enough. I just want to head my shipyard.
Hey, you know who that is, by the way? That old man?
No.
He's one of the jerks in Trading Places, one of the old men that tried to screw over Eddie Murphy.
Okay.
Hang on.
Slippery little suckers.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, she's chasing food on her plate or something. Like,
yeah, I don't know if that one's...
No, that's not iconic.
That's
come
not
on.
Iconic. It's not even ironic. But what is iconic and ironic is that Daryl Skeels is on the show. Hello, yes. Daryl.
Hello.
Daryl, what's your take on Unisom? You ever take that business?
No, I never have.
I'm never doing it again. I feel weird right now. I don't like it. It's over the counter. It's not like I got some illicit drug here.
Right.
It's not like I went and got some hillbilly heroin from the neighbor. This is like this is just straight up here. Have this. This is fine. Old people take it. It messed me up. Daryl,
If I have trouble sleeping, I take a couple ibuprofen and that knocks me out.
Does it really?
Mm-hmm.
Are they the PM kind or just straight up normal kind?
Just regular.
Okay. Because my wife will occasionally do it like a Tylenol PM if she's got a headache and can't sleep. And that'll put her out. Well, we sound like the worst old people ever.
Hey, that balloon head, I can't get to sleep.
I know.
By the way, Zoe in the tadpole comes up with, I'm just a girl standing in front of a boy asking him to love her.
Oh, gosh.
And
really?
I think we have a winner.
No, I think we have a winner for all the women who love that movie. I don't think any... Name a dude who knows that line. Like, at least some of us know that you had me at hello. That's like the Renee Zellweger one, right?
Right.
I don't know anyone who can repeat that one that you just said that I know of.
No, that's true.
Well, that's interesting. It'd be fun to go through and figure out everybody's phrase like that. Because every actor worth his salt has that moment, right? Like,
yeah, exactly. Like, honey, I'm home.
It belongs in a museum, Dad.
Right, exactly.
That one's more because we like it. Daryl, here's yours. I found Daryl's.
Zert.
That's what he's famous for, is Zert. Actually, 1930 and Zert. Daryl, let's get into it here. Let's get into the Star Trek trivia that presents itself as fresh and welcoming today. Here is your question. Oh, we got to play parts, Brian. You ready?
Oh, good. Okay.
We're acting.
Can we tell people who we're playing?
Brian said, well, so
Mike. Maybe not. Maybe we don't.
Yeah, maybe we don't. We know from looking at it.
Well, you'll know immediately who I'm playing because you say it in the first line.
That's right. Scott and Brian killed it on Monday, says Mike, with their
calculum, I'd say.
Oh, unholy acting acting talent. Here is another unholy acting talent, he'd say. Here is another scene from this time from The Next Generation. Brian will be starting it. I will be continuing it, and then we'll tell you later who we were. All right, Brian, go ahead.
You're starting.
Oh, it says Scott there. Okay. You ready?
Yeah.
Data, you are fully functional, aren't you?
Of course, but...
How fully?
In every way, of course. I've been programmed in multiple techniques, a broad variety of pleasuring...
You, Jewel, that's exactly what I hoped.
I'm loving it. All right, that was me as Tasha Yar, Brian as Data. What episode did that exchange come from? She called him a jewel? She called him a jewel?
You jewel.
Yeah.
What the hell? I'm glad the giant glad bag melted and killed her.
Oh, yeah. That's from The Naked Now.
Well, let me give you the episode. Sorry. Here's your options. Way. Yeah.
Okay.
A.
Maybe that's not even an option.
A. Lonely Among Us. B. The Naked Now. C. Too Short a Season. Or D. Coming of Age. While you think about that real hard, because clearly you don't know. We're going to have candy cigarettes.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Watch a foodie.
I've been looking forward to this. Nicole Spag sent us these awesome candy, retro candy pack things from the 60s, it says, even though I grew up in the 70s, but whatever. And most of these candies haven't changed. I feel like there's a lot of consistency and continuity between the decades on candy. But these are Target brand candy cigarettes. My parents would not, my mom specifically, would not let us go near these when I was a kid.
I can't find them in here.
And I've never smoked a real cigarette, so maybe she was
my
right.
My brand, the brand in mine says Kings.
Oh, you got Kings?
Mine are Roundup.
Oh, you got some too, but they're called a different name. That's weird.
And I can't open this. How does a kid get into these?
Well...
You gotta earn it, man.
Yeah, maybe they don't want you to start.
Yeah. It is kind of a weird idea, though. Like, mm-hmm. cigarettes for kids.
Yeah, you gotta use a X-Acto knife.
Oh my gosh, yeah. These are terrible. I can't believe I can't get these scissors to open it.
There, I got in. Oh, these are nothing like I remember.
Well, hold on, I don't remember them all. Okay, there we go. Alright, so we're gonna open them up.
How do you light these?
I seem to remember a kid when I was growing. Oh, these don't look right.
Yeah, they don't. These are just white sticks.
Yeah.
These are... Welcome to candy cigarettes, folks.
Okay. These look more like joints.
Yeah.
They do. They look like candy joints.
Little joints. Candy joints. Yeah,
these
have
red on one end.
They don't even. I recall when I was growing up, the ones I wanted to get.
Filters.
The ones I wanted to get, my parents wouldn't let me, were. They actually said candy cigarettes on the box. This doesn't say that at all. There's no reference.
Oh, that's funny. You're totally right. It just says candy.
But clearly that box is, I mean, that's a cigarette box.
That's a cigarette box, yeah.
So, all right.
That's supposed to be the Marlboro Man on mine.
Here goes. Hmm. Yeah, these are not good.
Nope. You usually find these on the bottom of blackboards.
Yeah.
It doesn't even taste the same.
No.
No, these are bad.
These are menthols.
Yeah, I don't like these at all.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, F that. Well, that's, childhood that's memory nothing. Shattered. There you go.
Yeah, that's nothing like the old days.
I'm pretty sure the old ones had a filter color at the bottom and looked like freaking cigarettes.
Had a red tip to look like it was lit.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That's the same thing. Those are disappointing.
They were perfect cylinders back then. These are like the... squeezed them out of a squeezy thing and then chopped them off.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, exactly.
They're like rolled up, tightly rolled up toilet paper.
Yeah. It is a funny thing when you think about it, that, you know, somebody said, we should make candy that looks like cigarettes so kids can pretend they're smoking along with their parents.
Yeah, I mean, I could see an era where that seemed okay, you know, like 40s maybe.
Yeah, Don Draper buying these for his kids.
Sure, but now...
You can pretend you're an ad man.
Or even in the 80s, that just seems weird. And Big League Chew, kind of similar in a weird way. I don't know. Those are strange candies that exist. And these are nothing like those. So if you're going to get the retro candy box, just know that the candy cigarettes are not what you hope.
That's funny. We'll also light one of these.
By the way, the ingredients are dextrose, cornstarch, corn syrup, tapioca, beef gelatin, and artificial flavors. So you just ate some beef gelatin.
These aren't even vegetarian candy cigarettes.
Nope. Vegans beware.
Yeah.
Not going to work for what you want and for what you need. It'll give you...
diabetes.
All right. Daryl? Are you there? Yeah, you're here.
Yeah, I'm still here.
You got a birthday?
Can't light it either. Doesn't stay lit.
Oh, you tried to light it. I love that you have a lighter handy.
Well, because I got candles in my office here.
Oh. I love that you have candles in your office.
For mood.
I don't have that. I want that.
You should have candles in your office.
I want some mood. I'm in a bad mood. Daryl, what's your mood? What's your food? No, what's your birthday mood? What's birthday?
Tastes like a cooked marshmallow.
Yeah, kind of.
When you set it on a fire. It's awesome.
Oh, you like it now?
Well, we should light them. You're supposed to light them then.
I don't have anything to light with.
That's all right.
Daryl, do you have an open flame there at work?
No, the sprinklers would probably come on.
Good point. You don't want that. All right, how's your birthday deal? What's going on?
Well, that we have one. It's Chris Marsink. He's 40 today. He played a Bajoran background character in the very last episode of Deep Space Nine.
Oh, wow. 40, that would have put him as... He would have been pretty young then. 20, yeah. Early 20s? No?
Yeah, something like that.
That's cool. Well, we're going to run out of those people eventually, you know. People that were in Star Trek slowly dying off over time. Before you know it, before there's a new series, there'll be no more people alive to remember what happened before. It's too bad.
Yeah, so they got to hurry up and make one.
That's what I'm saying. Daryl, we're back to your question, which is this one here about Lonely Among Us. Or, sorry, about Tasha Yar and Data.
Sorry.
The options are, options are A, Lonely Among Us, B, The Naked Now, C, Too Short a Season, or D, Coming of Age. Which do you think it is?
Well, this is where everybody was acting goofy because of the old rattlesnake on the hands thing they had, the disease. You know, they'd rub their hands and it would go...
Yeah, and it was based on the original Star Trek where everyone was like ice or whatever. They had that white powder on everybody. And somebody touched him, brought it back to the ship, and then everyone went crazy. That's the one where Sulu got out the sword and ran around half naked and all that.
Yep.
And that was called the Naked Time or Naked...
Mm-hmm.
Man,
Naked Time.
The Naked Man. Got it. So what do you say on this one? What do you think?
And this is the sort of redo of that, which was the Naked Now. And that's why they were all acting weird. Now.
All right, great. And it, I don't know, kind of for a 1987 thing, kind of pushed the limits to have Tasha Yar and Data doing it, you know? Mm-hmm. Android on human thing. It's pretty intense. So here's your chance to see if you won.
Congratulations.
You did.
You're a winner.
Thanks again to Scott and Brian for their award-winning performances. Here's a video of Calculon. You put this in here. So let's play Calculon here.
Calculon, old friend, I'm afraid I need your ears.
Well, I do owe you for giving me this unholy acting talent.
I like that it was filmed. Really? It was recorded in front of a TV. And there you go. And that matched nicely with 666 today. Daryl, how are you celebrating our 666th episode?
I am celebrating it with your end of segment question.
Oh, good. What is it? Tell me who. Before you do that, Daryl's on Twitter as the Trek Nerd. He's also on the show This Week in Trek, thisweekintrek.com.
Star Trek character or way to summon Satan?
Yep.
Well, you're close.
Just don't say it three times. All right, what do you got?
Well, it really is the same thing. Star Trek character or anime character?
No.
Oh, gosh.
Zert.
That's your theme today. Okay, go.
Satan's robot.
Satan's robot.
Star Trek character or anime character?
Yeah.
I can't imagine Gene Roddenberry allowing Satan's robot, but maybe...
It sounds anime to me.
It does.
But it sounds so anime, I feel like I'm getting duped again.
Yeah, well, you remember yesterday when we felt like we were getting duped and we flip-flopped?
Yeah, maybe we shouldn't flip-flop.
Maybe we shouldn't flip-flop. Right. Let's say anime.
Anime.
Okay. It is a robot character in the Adventures of Captain Proton holodeck program on Voyager.
Damn it. Satan's robot.
Satan's robot.
That's a terrible. I don't want to see that episode ever.
Because Satan has robots.
Yeah, right?
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the news.
What's Dear Leader up to? What giant blunders help shape history? Who really sends me messages through the toaster? Why am I talking like this? Listen to the Weekly Bleep to find out. Theweeklybleep.com. You'll be amazed.
Amazed is good. Burger King. You know, Burger King, they used to entertain me when I'd go there back when I ate burgers on a regular.
It would entertain you.
Yeah, remember they'd always do some weird...
Oh, there'd be some weirdness in the drive-thru,
some
right?
strange drive-thru experience. Yeah. I haven't been there in so long. Who knows what's going on?
In the drive-thru.
In the drive-thru in the Utah? Burger King is buying out Canadian coffee and donut chain Tim Hortons. That's how you say it, right? Hortons?
Hortons! Please pass me the Mingo phone! Flesh Gordon.
Flesh Gordon. But isn't it they're like their version of Starbucks in terms of popularity, right? Like it's huge in Canada.
Yeah, right, exactly. Now the way I understood it, and we talked about this actually during Raid Sunday night, is that it's the investment group that owns part of Burger King is also buying part of Tim Hortons. I don't think it's like a Is it has it switched now to be, you know, Burger King now?
Wow, good question.
How does this work?
Well, they've bought them, and a lot of people are saying, whoa, what are you doing? This is a little bit weird. By the way, $11 billion. Just want to point that out. $11 billion is how much that was worth. This has brought a heightened attention to the trend of companies using a merger to change their corporate citizenship. That's right. Burger King is fleeing to Canada. They will follow a host of other firms recently in moving to moving its domicile outside the United States. It's called tax inversion because a company is changing its legal home to the nation where the smaller acquired firm is based and where tax policies are more favorable. So now the idea is that Burger King will use Canada. There's three syllables in that, Scott, not one drawn out one.
Canada.
That's the unisom, dude. they're going to go up there just to be like a tax shelter and call it home. And they really don't care about Tim Hortons. They didn't really want it, but they, I mean, I don't know.
It just happens to be included in the deal.
Kind of $11 billion, though.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
That's a huge.
That's a lot of money.
A lot of money for a tax shelter.
Yeah, I agree. But this happens all the time now. There's other big companies have been doing it recently, so. Anyway, good job, Canada.
People really shouldn't get their hopes up about us getting Tim Hortons here in the States, basically.
I think that here's what I think. I think if they are willing to, because they can still call it their headquarters and do the tax evasion stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I think that this amount of money that they paid, I think almost ensures we'll get Tim Hortons in the States. I bet it's going to be all over the place down here. It's already in a couple of places, isn't it? Like,
do they have them outside of Canada?
I thought Washington had one.
Oh, really?
I thought, I could be wrong on this. Someone out there will know. I thought they had some location out of Canada.
Oh, upstate New York.
Oh, is that where? Maybe that's where I heard.
All right.
Yeah, they're supposed to be.
Oh, can I throw out a real quick thank you? Speaking of burgers.
Yeah.
Big thanks to John in Nampa, Idaho.
Oh, yeah.
He's a Smashburger guy.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine you got some Smashburger love, too.
I did. I meant to mention. In fact, here it is. I got his little envelope right here. John
I
Sharp,
did too.
Right?
Look at that.
Well, no. Mine was flesh toned. Yours was blue.
Mine's blue. I get the boy envelope.
I know. I get the girly one. Send us these awesome gift certificates to Smashburger.
Yeah. So huge thanks.
Yeah.
And Scott, you'll have to let me know how the black bean burger is.
Okay. I'll let you know.
I want to try one of those. But look at us simultaneously holding up our envelopes.
Yeah.
Unscripted. That was awesome.
Did we smell it too at the time?
I didn't smell it.
Oh.
Did you smell yours?
I did. I wanted to see if it smelled like a burger. you know, I'm going to do the occasional moderate burger, so I'm going to totally get one there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, their burgers are damn good. They have a Colorado local one that's got green chilies, and I know they won't have it there in the Utah, but the one here has green chilies and like a chipotle sauce. Really, really good.
Yeah. All right. Also, I was going to say something else and I forgot. Oh, I wonder if we may have our own little mix here. I don't know.
Probably will. I think they probably all have something local. So you have to let me know what.
So F Burger King.
Yeah.
Smash Burger, everybody.
Right on.
Cops have been called after an airline passenger or two fought over a seat recline and forced the plane to land.
Oh, my God. This is all over the news in the Today Show yesterday and today. It's crazy.
Oh, people are the worst. Airline passengers come to expect a tiny escape from the confined spaces of today's packed planes, the ability to recline their seat a few inches. One passenger was denied that bit of personal space Sunday. It led to a heated argument and the unscheduled landing of their plane just halfway to its destination. Boy, I would have been pissed. The flight started at United Airlines flight because the passenger was using the Knee Defender, a $21.95 gadget that attaches to a passenger's tray table and prevents a person in front of them from reclining.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
I almost bought a pair of these for my dad because he travels a lot. And I thought, this would be a fun gift for him. And they're FCC legal. I mean, you know, the FCC doesn't ban them. But here's the deal. So the fight happens with this guy who's got his laptop on his tray. And he doesn't want the lady in front of him to recline and smash his laptop. And I've actually seen, I know a guy, Matt Luschek, whose laptop got destroyed because the passenger in front of him reclined so quickly that the top of his display got caught in the little tab that holds that holds the tray up.
And they got and pushed
it
down?
Bent it. Oh. Yeah, like it bent the top of the display and cracked it.
Oh,
like,
right, gosh.
Yeah. So
I would be so pissed.
I'm sorry, not FCC, FAA, yeah. So the guy put those things, the little plastic doohickeys that go on the tray table arms and keep the seat in front of her from reclining. And she, you know, she like tries to recline, she can't do it. She turns around and says, "Hey, I can't recline my chair." And I guess she either figured out that he had these things keeping it from happening or whatever. And she says, "Can you take them off?"
Mm-hmm.
And he says, "No, I'm working on my laptop," or something like that.
Yeah.
She calls the flight attendant over. Flight attendant asks him to remove them.
Well, and according to United, they don't allow them. Like, United's like,
"Oh, really?
Yeah, we're not. Okay. These aren't cool. You're not supposed to have them."
And so the lady in front of him throws a glass of water in his face.
Oh, gosh, really?
Yes.
Okay, well, then that's...
So they're both at fault. As soon as the flight attendant says, "Hey, can you take those off?" you comply. I don't care.
Of course.
I don't care if you're working on the most important spreadsheet that's going to help save the universe, whatever.
Yeah.
Slide it forward on your tray. You might have to, you know, type like a Tyrannosaurus Rex for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And
you'll survive.
You comply.
I agree, especially if them and most U.S. airlines, all the major U.S. air carriers, prohibit the use of the device on the plane. So it doesn't matter what plane you're on, Delta, United, whoever, you're not allowed to have those. So wow. I put it on him. Now, I don't think she should have thrown water in his face necessarily, but both of y'all are jerks. Making that plane land? Oh, dude. I mean, it's one thing for a plane to land prematurely because, you know, somebody's, injured or, you know, someone's having a heart attack or something weird like that. Yeah. I get that. But when it's because you can't freaking be civilized human beings about your seat reclining, you guys suck.
Exactly. And I think, you know, I feel both sides on the whole chair reclining issue. When I'm on a plane, I feel guilty if I recline my chair. And the only time I really recline my chair, my seat, is if the person in front of me reclines and I feel like, well, I've got to see my laptop, so I've kind of got to be down a little further angle. Mm-hmm. So I'll recline my seat. But I know I shouldn't because I've paid for that seat. I should be able to recline it if I want to. But for some reason, I just feel guilty. And sometimes I feel irritated at the person in front of me if they recline, even though they've paid for their seat. They have full rights to recline it if they want. But
I only do it if the guy behind me has already done his. So if the guy behind me is laid back and chilling, then I will lay back and chill.
Yeah, and I do always look back and see if the person behind me is, you know, if they're working on a laptop, if their head is really close to where I'd be reclining because they're typing something or they're eating or doing whatever, then I won't recline. Mm-hmm. But I wish we would have had this story before jury yesterday, because this would have been a great thing to ask him about.
That would have been a fine topic, yeah.
I'd be curious to see, with all the traveling he does, how he feels about the seat reclination.
Yeah, it would have been a great topic, rather than the one we had, which was, why isn't Scott going to DragonCon? That'd be great. Let's do that.
That would have been much better,
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah. Hello.
I'd be curious if somebody out there wants to start a straw poll about, you know, seat back, recline or no recline.
Sure, yeah.
I'd love to know what people think about that.
Rock the vote, you guys. Somebody start one. Go to strawpoll.me and do it. They're back. HelloFresh.com back once again to tell you that you need to make some fun cooking, Brian. Make some fun damn cooking.
I like making fun cooking.
That's right, because you're who are you? You're, what's her name now? I've already forgotten her name.
Paula Deen.
I'm going to just play a little Paula Deen.
It's very distressing.
Very distressing.
No.
All right.
Your butt is going to be mine.
All right. Something about a tater.
If you're out there, please pick up that tater and throw it so hard in my head that it kills me. Please. I want to meet you.
Oh, good Lord.
That is the weirdest. When you take that clip out of context, that is the weirdest damn thing for anybody to come up with.
It is really weird. Such a strange thing.
I is what I is.
She's Popeye there.
Let me cook up some spinach.
This is the famous tater clip.
Right? And if y'all will excuse me for a couple of minutes, I'm going to finish making love to my tater.
Gross. Gross. Well, HelloFresh is not gross. Go check out these chef-made recipes. They're amazing. Pick what you like. They'll send you the exact farm fresh ingredients straight to your door. You'll have a meal in 30 minutes or less. HelloFresh.com is the place. If they deliver to you for first-time customers, use the code MorningStream for 50% off. That's 50% off with the code MorningStream. It's time for this.
Chairman J. Parnell Thomas of New Jersey opens an inquiry into possible communist penetration of the Hollywood film industry.
It's Celebrity Poop brought to you by...
If you were a time traveler, you'd be home by now, or eaten by space lizards. Find out on theweeklybleep.com.
Sounds good to me. A Full House revival is reportedly in the works. The best news you're going to hear all day.
Oh, no.
Full House revival, everybody. You can...
Never saw a single episode of the original, so why on earth would I watch the revival?
Well, a Full House revival is reportedly in the works, and it won't be just any reboot, since most of the original cast might return in some capacity. Let's see. Why the return trip to one of the greatest families in TV history? Really? The guy writing this must have, what, was he a kid then?
He's on Bob Saget's payroll.
Jeez. According to TV Guide, the sitcom which aired on ABC from 87 to 95. That's a long time.
Uh-huh.
Wow. I didn't realize it was that long. It's still pulling in some major ratings through repeats at Nick at Night, Warner Brothers. That's their thing they run. TV is interesting in revisiting the series in a new light. TV is interested.
Warner Brothers TV.
Oh, but I'm using that as a period.
Yeah, no.
It's throwing me off.
Warner Bros.
Period. TV is interested in revisiting it. This doesn't make sense. Right. That was all according to E! Online.com. Unisom. Where are we here? No, Neil Young. Here, give me some Neil Young.
Only love can break your heart. Try to remember from the start.
Something. Here, the best thing he ever did was be part of Southern Cross, which is the greatest song ever made.
Yeah.
Neil Young. I like Neil Young a lot. I like his music and stuff.
Dead in Ohio. And Nixon's coming.
He's got a weird voice, doesn't he?
He does. Yeah.
It's a very odd thing. Very unique. He is getting a divorce, which makes me kind of sad. He's divorcing from his longtime wife, Peggy Young. 36 years of marriage. Brrr, out.
Wow.
More than 3 decades. Think about that. Highly respected rock and roll folk musician filed a petition for dissolution.
I just can't listen to your voice anymore.
Oh, come on, honey. Let's make up. Come on. Come back. I'm a lot like you. I'll take you to dinner.
This is terrible. This is according to Rolling Stone, something, blah, blah. Let's see. A hearing for the divorce has been scheduled for December 12th. Neil Young has not issued a statement about the split. He was a waitress when he met her at a Bella Vista restaurant in Woodside, California, near his ranch. And he tells something close to the story for those moments in Unknown Legend off Harvest Moon, the album. A couple were married in 78, and she began to provide backup vocals for Neil during his tour in the 90s. And that's a long time to be married to have that all go away. I feel bad. 36 yeah. years. That seems like you were going to be in it for the complete long haul, but maybe he hit some kind of...
Is that a picture of her, Brent Dunaway? Oh, no, that's not a picture of her.
No, but the link I put in there is one of her.
Okay.
Let me make sure. Yeah, that's Peggy right there.
Okay.
She seems nice enough.
Yeah.
He looks like a scone. Like a big puffed up scone.
Who's the picture you posted there, Dunaway?
Did Dunaway post a picture? Did he accidentally post one of his porno pictures again?
He did, yes.
Oh, Brian.
Oh, Dunaway.
Who is that?
I don't know, but she's awful proud of that necklace.
And I'm pretty
sure she wants everybody to look down at that necklace.
I'm pretty
obviously.
Sure that's a bra too. I don't think that's like a dress.
No, I don't think so either.
Yeah. Well, hey Dunaway, you accidentally pasted a very private link, buddy.
Oh, that's Gibbler from Full House, Kimmy Gibbler.
Oh, I don't know who Kimmy Gibbler is.
Never saw that show, but
I didn't watch it enough to
watch
know.
That.
I know the Olsen twins were in it. I'm pretty sure Bob Saget was there someplace, and that one guy. Whose name I forget.
Dave Coulier,
that guy.
The guy who Alanis Morissette really doesn't like, but used to go to movies with apparently all the time.
Isn't like the whole Bitterest Pill album about him or something?
Jagged Little
Pill.
Bitterest pill is the jam, and that's a good song. That's a damn good song.
Oh, so it's not bitterest pill.
It is the bitter. It's not the bitterest pill, no.
No, it's the jaggedest pill. The jaggedy pill. That's what this should be called. TweakedAudio.com, sponsor of the show. Five great styles, seven great colors, all designed to sound great with music and talk. Check them out at TweakedAudio.com. Use the code STREAM at checkout for 33% off. That does not include a free Unisom tablet. That's Tweaked Audio, 33% off. A whole third, folks, for the code STREAM. Let's take a break. When we come back, we got Recommendals, Tom's Tech Time, your emails, and more. Brian's going to share with us music right now, though. Brian?
Yes, this one comes from Rachel W. from St. Louis. She says, Dear Dana Scully and Bill Mulder. Well, almost. Mm. Who's Bill?
Oh.
Bill.
Bill.
I'm hoping this request has been submitted in a timely manner so as to reach you by the air date of TMS episode 666. What better way to honor this episode of The Beast than with a cover by or of one of the greatest gothic rock and love metal bands, Him, or His Infernal Majesty. Their cover of Chris Isaak's Wicked Game is particularly good, but I will trust Mr. Ibbotson if another tune strikes truer. Thank you both immensely for all you do, and here's to another 666 episodes. The truth is out there, though. Rachel W., St. Louis.
What's the math on that? If you add 666, hold on. Okay, I'm going to do that now. Okay. 666 times 2.
All right.
That's 1,332 episodes.
All right.
We'll see you then, buddy.
We'll see you then.
Yep.
So this comes from, well, they've released this on a bunch of different albums, but I grabbed it from the XX Two Decades of Love Metal compilation that came out in 2012. Here is Him with Wicked Game.
All right, here it is. We'll be back in a second. Everybody hang tight.
Somebody like you. No, 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 no. Jordan Marsh Super Sale is on.
Super!
This is the place for spectacular store-wide savings.
Super!
Thursday, Friday, and Saturday only. Save 25 to 50% on selected fashions, accessories, housewares, and more.
Super!
Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. 3 days of sizzling savings of 25 to 50%. The Super Sale at Jordan Marsh is on.
This is the place, Jordan Marsh.
We've proved it. You've proved it, too.
This is the Morning Stream.
All right, we're back. Welcome back. I really like that. You know what? That song, the original song, the Wicked Game song, is one of my favorite things ever. Yeah. I love that song. And I don't know, you know, Chris Isaak didn't do much else, I guess, of note, right?
Not a lot on mainstream radio. I mean, he's continuously released albums, and they're all really solid, really good albums. Like, he did a recent tribute to Sun Records with covers of Elvis and Johnny Cash, and it was really, really good. But as far as mainstream success, nothing's been able to compare to Wicked Game.
It's such a good song. Just, I don't know, trippy. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of Twin Peaks for some reason.
Well, it was used for another David Lynch movie, Wild at Heart.
Oh, it was?
That song was initially released as part of the soundtrack.
Was it written for that, or was he?
I think it was written for that.
That's crazy.
And Chris Isaak even appeared in Twin Peaks. I'm trying to remember if he was in just the movie or if he was in the TV show as well. But he was another agent along with Dale Cooper.
That's crazy. Well, never know what you're going to get with Chris Isaacs. Raising his hands to the sky and black and white hot lady with dirt on her face. Remember that? Am I remembering that right?
Hot lady with dirt on her face? Yeah. Oh, she was like on a beach. It was sand.
Yeah, like a beachy sandy thing.
Yes.
I remember that video being
black
pretty
and
rad.
White, black and white video.
Yeah, well, who was she? She was big at the time. Now she's, I don't know where she, where, what's she
oh,
doing
really?
Now?
Was that a...
She was a big model, I think. Like,
kind of like what George Michael was doing at the time with, you know, getting...
Well, you know the guy's got talent.
Folks like Evangelista and Cindy Crawford and...
Yeah, something like that. All right, Nicole is being buzzed, but she is not answering.
Buzz Nicole.
That could
permission,
mean...
Permission to buzz...
No, Maverick. You can't buzz Nicole.
I'm going to stop before I say that.
Yeah, all right. Hello, Nicole Spagnolo. What's going on? How are you?
Just crazy morning.
Yeah? You got a lot going on?
Oh, you know.
Getting ready to go to Dragon
when
Con.
When doesn't she have a lot going on?
Yeah, she always does.
Oh, Dragon Con.
That's right. You gotta,
oh, that's
you,
right.
That's right. You got to go. You got to go.
Yeah. It's been crazy.
See, that stress that you're feeling right now? That's why I don't go to Dragon Con anymore.
Part of the reason is that Nicole is one of the heads in charge of the podcasting stuff. And I have to imagine that's a bunch of extra stuff and pain in the butt and work and all that.
Last minute changes.
Yeah.
People forgetting to register and trying to get in and making my life hell, people.
That's right. That's why I don't want to do any of the planning bits for anything ever.
Why Spectacular is just so great. I'm like, oh, this is, what are you talking about? This is not work.
It's so easy.
Yeah, exactly. You can sit back and, you know, set up a
chill
couple
out,
things.
Have fun, and manage a couple of deals, but no big deal. Yeah. We're the standard by which all cons should master themselves. Or I'm just being cocky. Hey, Nicole, it's good to have you on the show.
How's I'm cosplaying this year, too.
Yeah, good. We were watching.
I saw that.
So what do you want to do? Do you have any words for Daryl who hates Bob's Burgers? Do you have anything you want to say to him on the air?
Shut up, Daryl.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. Last night, my wife and I were watching an episode.
I love it. It's my favorite show.
My wife laughs her head off, something Gene said. It was the, you know what, it was the food truck episode again.
All the subtle things that Gene says.
It really is,
And she said, he said something really funny. She laughed. And then she looks over at me and she goes, did you tell me Daryl doesn't like this show? I said, yeah. And she goes, what is wrong with him? She says. And then Kim never says things like that. So even she's nonplussed at his dislike for the show. It's really weird. Anyway, it's a fantastic show. Listen to
it.
Watch it.
It's a very, I mean, it seems like it wouldn't be smart because it's a cartoon, but it's a very smart, funny
smart,
show.
Very smart, very endearing. Very funny. Mm-hmm. Very good. I like it. All right, Nicole, let's get to the recommendals of the day. That's what you do on Wednesdays. You come on, you recommend stuff, streaming stuff, cool stuff. I have no idea what today's theme is, so lay it on us.
Well, I had a little help with today's theme. A little birdie told me that today was episode 666.
Yeah, that's devil right. Movies, baby. Woo!
So I thought, let's make today's theme the devil.
Okay, sweet. I like it.
I'm doing devil horns right now.
Which, there are a lot of movies. Mm-hmm. I had a lot to pick from. One that I think we'll just start off with is the 2010 film Devil.
Oh, I am unfamiliar with Shyamalan. Devil.
That's the funny thing. So Shyamalan, whatever.
yeah, Shyamalan, that's it.
You know, this is later after he's had a few duds. So I kind of ignored this movie when it came out.
Yeah.
And I caught it on HBO, just kind of randomly watching it. And it's streaming on Netflix. This is the only place you can stream it.
Yeah.
And it's about a detective. There's five people stuck in an elevator, and a detective is trying to save them because one of them is the devil. So it's kind of a mystery, and you think, okay, there's only five people. You probably will guess who it is. I had no idea. Like, it was a surprisingly It surprised me. So
yeah, it's a very creative twist, or very clever. Definitely one of his better movies after The Sixth Sense.
So
and
he did he direct this or no?
John Dowell.
Yeah, Don Eric Dowell, co-written by Brian Nelson and M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah, so he co-wrote it. So maybe that's why I liked it. Mm-hmm.
And are these actors we know? Are these people we're familiar with?
There's nobody here that I remember being really recognizable. Yeah, maybe
I recognized faces, like notable
character actor.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Hmm.
But nothing that I was like, oh, that's so and so. But it surprised me. And if you're kind of pushed that away, like I did, go watch it on Netflix. It will surprise you.
Good, like good, or is it just a good surprise? Like even if you knew the surprise,
it's suspenseful all the way through. Yeah. I enjoyed it.
I did too. Surprising. And it might be one of those situations where my expectations were like way, way low. And that's probably why I liked it. Maybe had I seen it in the theater with the higher expectations of like The Sixth Sense.
Right.
You know, it all depends on how you approach a movie in a lot of cases. I know that's how I am.
Right.
But streaming Netflix, totally worth a watch.
Okay.
Try it.
Okay. I will try it, and I might like it, Mikey.
As Brody says.
Nice. Cool. All right. Well, there's our first devil movie that's literally called Devil.
Literally called Devil.
Yeah.
The next one is a documentary.
Oh.
And you might have seen this. I watched it a while back. It is the 2006 documentary, The Devil and Daniel Johnston.
No.
This was streaming on Netflix for a very, very long time. That's actually how I originally watched it. It's streaming on Crackle right now. So you might have to sit through some...
Daniel Johnston from Love and Rocket. Am I thinking of the right guy? Love and Rocket, Bauhaus?
He's a songwriter. And I'm surprised you haven't seen this.
No, I've never even heard of this. Who am I thinking of? Daniel Johnston, the guy from Bauhaus and... Oh, no, that's Daniel Ash. That's who I'm thinking of.
Mm.
But he's he collects everything. He makes these mixtapes and very kind of brilliant but tortured. And he got a lot of popularity early on. And then it's just kind of his story. It's something that, Brian, I think you would really enjoy because, I mean, of course, it's music-based.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and I'm trying to find some more information.
Seeing my IMDb stuff here, he's let's see, 2005. Yeah, who have reviewed really well. People like this.
Yeah, it's a really good documentary. It's been a while since I've seen it.
Yeah.
Matt
Groening's in it. What's he doing?
Manic
there?
Depressive. That's right. Manic here. Depressive.
What is the Simpsons/Futurama creator Matt Groening doing in this movie? Did they interview him for something? You must know him or something.
Yeah, they interviewed a lot of different people. He was, from what I remember, he kind of got popular in, you know, different crowds, but he kind of threw it all away.
Hmm.
From what I'm trying to remember the movie. I didn't watch it last night. This was kind of last minute scramble here. but it's a good documentary. So
yeah. All right. Watch. To the list.
I will mark this one down. I love this kind of stuff. So I'm in. Yeah. Does he think the devil's all over the place? Like, is that the point of it?
No, he's manic. I don't believe so. But he has, like, if you look at the album or the movie art, that's something he drew. He does wacky, crazy album art.
All right.
And things.
All right.
Yeah, I'm sorry. In. I don't have all that information.
No. It's all good. Well, all we need to know is it's streaming and we can get it, damn it. That's great.
Streaming. Yep. He's a musical genius.
All right.
That just kind of shunned the industry, kind of went off and did his own thing. But he's hailed as brilliant.
As some of the geniuses end up doing.
Yeah. You know, somebody that turned away from.
Mm-hmm.
And then the final one.
Yeah.
You probably. I love this movie. I just love it. I'm surprised you haven't film sacked it because it is. When was it made? I don't. 1989.
All right.
She-Devil.
Oh, yeah. She-Devil.
So Roseanne Barr and I love this movie Meryl so much. Streep.
Yes, yeah. Meryl Streep. what's his name?
Ed Begley Jr.
Egg Begley Jr. I haven't given you a butchered name in a while, so there you go.
Egg Begley
Jr.
Yeah.
So I have seen this movie a number of times, and I love it each time I watch it. And so
Ed Begley Jr.
What is wrong? Try saying it three times
Ed
fast.
Egg Begley Jr.
So his character is married to Roseanne. They have two kids. It's the typical, you know, housewife, and she's kind of been, you know, beaten down, and so she finally she gets angry because her husband starts having an affair with Meryl Streep's Streep's character.
Yeah, another tough one, Streep.
When you do this at 8 a.m. in the morning with not very little coffee, I get a little tongue-tied sometimes.
Yeah, that's all right. You need to try Unisom like me. See how that goes for you.
You know what? I took Unisom my entire, like, for 4 months of my pregnancy because it controlled my nausea.
Oh, did it really?
Yep. That's what it was originally created for.
Oh, weird.
Pregnant women.
Well, I have to admit, I haven't felt nauseated all night. So I guess that's something. I had no idea. That's weird. Oh, great. I took a pregnant woman pill. That's my problem, Brian.
Yeah, well, it's not a pregnant woman pill, but it was originally created for pregnant women.
For pregnant women. Yeah, as far as I'm concerned, they can market it all they want. They made that for pregnant women, and now I know it.
That's why the little pill rocks back and forth.
Well, and sleepiness was a side effect, so they thought, oh, we can rebrand it.
Great. Great. Turn the side effect into its main market. Wonderful.
Yeah. Right.
Anyway, sorry.
So She-Devil streaming on Amazon Prime. That's the only place you can watch that. Really funny, really clever.
Roseanne Barr is the devil, right?
No, she's a devil.
She's an angry.
Housewife.
Oh, I thought it was like literally she was the devil or something.
No. Well, her husband thinks
her current IMDb picture is, she's looks like she's got some witch stuff going on there. The current IMDb photo.
Plus, there's flames behind her. So I
thought. Oh, well, you're talking about the movie poster.
Yeah. So I figured that meant she was like actually the devil.
She's a pissed off housewife.
I remember this being a thing, and the only thing I remember, I didn't see it, but I remember that Robin Leach was in it. Do I have that right?
He plays
himself.
Yeah,
okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. Because
back when that mattered.
Meryl Streep, her character is a romance author.
Mm.
And has this big lavish home, and she ends up bringing in Roseanne's kids to her home because she's now with her husband, and like her kids are horrible. They're just horrible. Oh. And it's to see her character break down into Roseanne's former self. It's just a funny movie.
Robin Leach, welcome to that guy. Remember that guy? Man, that guy. What a weirdo. Anyway.
So, you know where Roseanne Barr was born, Scott?
Holiday, Utah.
In the Salt Lake City? Utah.
Yeah. She was born
in
here.
Holiday, specifically.
Yeah, raised here, a little suburb called Holiday. We used to drive when I was a lot younger, I guess high school age, when she was in stand-up and doing stuff. We used to go by her house and act like that was a big deal. Because it was two things. It was her and the guy, Mike Lookingland, who played Bobby Brady.
Yeah.
He was from there also, same area. And we dumped his trash over once. And he was
nice.
And he was living there at the time. Because his career had kind of washed up, and he was outside smoking one time, and we dumped his trash, and he yelled and swore at us, and we got in the car and drove away. Well, we were kids.
No kidding. What are you doing?
Yeah, we were kids. You know, Bobby How Brady. Old are you? I was probably 17. You know,
growing a kid.
I was some a-hole kid.
You're not
a kid.
Maybe it was Marsha.
Some teenage wiener. Teenage wiener. That's what you do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Marsha, and then drive away.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Well, that's good. Was that three or two? That's three, because you did the documentary there in the middle.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Devil and Daniel Johnston, then She-Devil. By the way, speaking of Roseanne Barr, did either of you watch this season's Last Comic Standing?
No. She hosting?
She was one of the judges.
Oh.
Along with In Living Color guy.
Wayans?
No, not Wayans. The guy that created it.
Oh, the creator guy.
Yeah.
The oldest brother.
Yeah, the oldest one.
Not Damon, not Keenan Ivory. No. Yeah?
No, he's a younger one.
I don't know. Yeah.
Damon was the oldest.
Anyway, the point of it was it was a really good season of Last Comic Standing. It was... not the typical what they've done in the past with all the stupid fake drama in the houses. They actually went out and found really good comics in the beginning, so you didn't have to sit through the torture of watching. And I hate that part. I don't know. There's something funny about it when it's music or singers.
Yeah.
It's not funny when it's comedians.
You feel
it's
really bad for them.
Painful when it's comedians. Yeah. Yeah. So they really approached it differently this season, and they brought Roseanne Barr in as a judge, and the judges were, I thought, really, like, you could tell they were having an impact on their career, like giving them really good advice.
Well, a little Utah connection further with Roseanne Barr, when she comes here, and that she'll appear on like local radio stations and stuff for like promoting whatever she's doing, and she'll always talk about how she only really comes to Salt Lake to get Dunford donuts.
Complete
freak about those donuts.
Yeah. Oh, that's hilarious.
That is wow. Awesome.
She loves them. So, yeah. And she's supposed, I really like her now. She used to grate on me big time. Mm-hmm. My mother does a dead perfect Roseanne Barr impression, by the way. If you ever can get it out of her, you'll be blown away that my mom can do hilarious. It so well. She's so good at it. And it's kind of Roseanne era Roseanne Barr, like the Roseanne show thing. Yeah. Like they kind of, she was kind of her penguin phase.
I'll get you, Batman.
That's right. She does a really good job at that. Anyway, these are all fine recommendations. Yeah. I recommend people check it out. Nicole, anything else going on before the big trip? Anything you want people to be paying attention to?
Honestly, Dragon Con is the only thing I'm thinking about right now. I got an episode of Nerd Parents coming out. Nerd Parents is not canceled, people.
I don't know how people got this yesterday. I said, oh, the episode I'm going to be on Nerd Parents got canceled today. Looks like there's some, somebody's sick in the household.
Yeah, Mateo was sick yesterday.
And so somebody ran with it and went, I heard the show got canceled.
Like you have patrol at a kid.
No, like I would ever did. Like I'd ever say that in the first place. It's the weirdest
thing. Sorry, you're just not pulling in the ratings we want here on the Frog.
Yeah, sorry. You're out. Just
go talk to the WB.
Yeah.
CW is looking for us.
Clean out your desk. Yeah. No, it doesn't work that way, folks. And then that show's still rad. So anyway, there's a new one up now, though, yeah?
No, I'm editing it right now. It should be up either today or tomorrow.
Editing.
And then we'll record, hopefully next. I'll record another one next week. I don't know if you can make it, but we're going to record no matter what.
I should be able to. That should work.
So, Nicole, Dragon Con question for you.
Yes.
When do rooms go on sale for 2015 for the Hilton?
Right now.
Oh, really? So they're already reserving them?
I'll forward you the email.
Oh, please do, because I'm 2015. I'm in. I only go to Dragon Con in odd numbered years.
He only goes on years when new Star Wars movies are coming out.
Bummed that you're not going to be there, Brian.
I'm bummed I'm not going to be there either. But this was such a, and not just Las Vegas, but there were so many trips that I did have this year, like conventions and family things, and
I get it,
stuff like that.
Believe me.
Yeah. But I'll see you. But I'll see you in a couple months at BlizzCon.
Yeah, BlizzCon's coming up too. Yeah.
I think all four of us are going to be Brian Ibbett, because I don't think I got names changed in time.
Oh, great.
I feel better now. Okay. We just all have to meet and then get our badges together.
You know what's funny is I always have to play this game where I have no ticket until I find out whether Blizzard is giving us instance tickets or not. It always happens every year.
Look at you.
And it's always last minute. It's always last minute, too. So we're like all the way up to the wire. I've already got this expensive hotel reserved. All this planning and flight and everything's all done. but I don't know if I have tickets until like a month ahead.
Wow.
I hate it.
I couldn't live like that. I couldn't do it.
It's no way to live. It's no way to live.
Brian, I will tell you that I got a room at one of the big hotels downtown just last week. So the secret is, if you get closer, you just call.
Oh, stuff opens up probably because people like people like me change their mind. They can't go or whatever.
Exactly. So it's not that big of a deal.
Wow. All right. Well, I'm still going to bet.
But it's not
early because
it's not the rates because, you know, I think the rates are much lower if you book in advance versus waiting until the last minute.
I can't believe you can get them right now. That's crazy. I thought it was at least had to be a year. But forward me that email when you get a chance and I'm in for 2015.
You guys want a Quizzler?
Oh, what? Oh, yeah. Give us a Quizzler.
Oh, yeah.
About the Quizzlers.
Yeah, no, I keep forgetting. Go ahead.
I love these.
So this is one that I found, and I went with the theme. So here you go. See if you can guess what this is.
All right.
Hello, Catherine. We must talk.
Oh, my God.
God? God is love. I don't love you.
Wow.
Ooh.
Go toward the light, Carol Ann. I don't know.
Is that Rosemary's Baby? No, I guess because then he would have called her Rosemary.
Nope.
Is it?
It's been a past recommendal.
It has been?
And it's been on FilmSack.
Oh, gosh, really?
Is it?
That's the worst part.
Is it The Omen?
Nope.
Is it?
You want me to give you the devil's name?
Yes.
The actor who plays the devil?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Viggo.
Mortensen?
Oh, is it Ghostbusters 2?
No.
Oh.
Not. No, it's, oh gosh.
Do you want me to play the clip again?
No, it won't help me.
Quick,
Ah, crap, give us another hint.
I don't know. It has a sequel. It has actually, I think, a couple of...
It has a couple sequels?
Yeah.
Oh, geez. I have no idea.
The first one was the best one.
Brian, what do you... I have no idea.
Nothing.
Here, I'll play it one more time.
All right.
Hello, Catherine. We must talk.
Oh, my God.
God? God is love. I don't love you.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what we've seen from FilmSack because I was thinking it was
angels, devils.
Yeah, it was the one with the angels that come to Earth.
Yes.
I didn't think we saw that for FilmSack. The one with the faces elongating.
You did not see the prophecy for FilmSack.
Oh. Wait. Oh, Viggo Mortensen's not in that though.
Yes, he is. He plays the devil.
That's the prophecy.
He plays the devil.
Wait. I'm thinking of Christopher Walken.
Christopher Walken is not the devil. He's an angel.
Oh, it was like Gabriel or something, right?
I don't remember. Hold on, where's Viggo Mortensen? That. Yeah, you're right. I forgot he was in that.
Yeah. Did we see? We saw the prophecy too. We saw the sequel.
Oh, that's right. We saw the sequel. There was no Viggo in that. And in that one, Walken was a bad guy.
He was kind of a bad guy in the first one too.
Yeah. No, that's it. That's it. That's why. No Viggo.
Oh, very good.
Sorry, I thought you...
Still, that's a good one.
That's all right. No, that was a good hard... We want these to be hard. We don't want to be easy.
Yeah.
I give us a... And I give Nicole a... Here you go. Nicely done. Nicole...
Still like my Ghostbusters 2 guess. I think that was...
That was pretty awesome.
Stay out of trouble. I'll see you tonight for a final score and set fire to your hair. I don't know what that means. Bye now. All right. She's gone. She's out.
All right. Okay. Wow.
She's out. Let's call Ace Detect. Get a little tech going here. A little technology talk.
Mm-hmm. A little tech. A
little bit of tech. Just a tiny little bit. Not too little, not too much. Just enough to play this thing here.
With the computer, as with any tool, the concept and direction must come from the man.
The man in question is one Tom Merritt. Hello, Tom.
Hello, Scott Johnson and Brian Ebbett.
Hello.
Hello, Tom Merritt.
Are you prepared for your trip to fanciful Atlanta, Georgia?
Yes.
Great.
I am.
Great. Good.
I just checked in for my flight.
Oh, goodness.
I will be flying along with Justin Robert Young.
Together? Weird.
Well, yeah, actually, because my
don't
flight
let him reclaim
connects,
a seat.
This happens sometimes out of LAX. My flight connects through San Francisco. And I don't mean to do that, but sometimes it's like significantly cheaper.
Oh, wow. That is weird.
So, yeah, it was supposed to be me, Jerry, and Veronica all flying on that flight. But then she's in New York on business.
Oh,
plus,
yeah.
It'd be bad for the three of you to all fly somewhere at the same time. It's, you know, like why they split up the president and the vice president.
Right. Yeah,
exactly.
Can't have all their eggs in one basket. Goodness gracious. Is she she's still attending though, right? She's just coming the other direction.
Yeah, she's just coming straight from what she was doing up there.
That makes perfect sense
to
me.
New York
shitty. Get a rope. Tom, you're on the show, and that means technology time. Let's talk about some tech. There's been a lot of tech talk lately, so I honestly have no idea where you're going to go today. What's
well, you know, it's funny. There has been a lot lately, and there's not much today. Like Alibaba's making a lot of money, and you know, Seagate has an 8 terabyte hard drive, which actually gets me excited because I'm a hoarder.
Yeah.
But
wow. And it can get up to 1,000 degrees.
Yeah. It can heat your home.
That's right.
But the coolest thing in the news this morning is the coolest project, which now is past the Pebble as the most successful Kickstarter. Yeah.
Oh, I love this thing.
Now, if you want to talk about something more serious, like the, you know, the Twitter thing or whatever, like I'm willing to go any direction, but the coolest is has raised $10.35 million and rising, and this is its second crack at it.
Coolest ever, 21st century cooler that's actually cooler. I have not paid any attention to this. Oh, my gosh.
It has a USB charger.
This thing is deluxe, man.
$10.5 million.
Blender.
Yep.
Like, it holds a jam box and your phone. Yeah, this thing. Oh, my God. Almost $10.5 million raised.
Wow.
Now, here's the crazy thing. When they first launched it, it actually had a grill attached. They have since removed for safety reasons. And they wanted $100,000 or $150,000. I can't remember exactly, but they didn't make their goal. So this time around, with the grill removed but the USB charging port attached, they set their goal at $50,000 and they blew it away.
That's really weird to me. I mean, is that really such a I guess it is a big factor for people who are, you know, getting away, going to the
relation, not causation, right? I'm not saying the USB port was the thing.
Yeah.
But it is interesting that, you know, The Verge has an article sort of investigating what are the reasons that it succeeded this time so ridiculously fancy. And they're like, look, one of the things with Kickstarter success is getting the ball rolling.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get the momentum, sometimes it's actually hard to stop it. So setting the goal lower than the previous time helped. Because people felt excited, you know, and wanted to tell more people, like, it made its goal and I'm going to get one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if it looks like it's going to miss, then people are not, yeah, well, I was going to be excited about this cooler thing, but it doesn't.
That's a good point. I'm just looking at one of these levels, like the $185 level where you get your cooler and
some
other stuff.
That's basically what you'd, if you wanted one of these things, that's the level you'd have to jump in now.
Well, right. Yeah, you can
with,
do the,
with the other 40,000 backers.
Yeah, 686 backers. 1,000 backers. That's a lot of people. That is a lot of fulfillment. I guess $10 million affords you to be able to do it. Yeah.
Wow.
That's
true.
I wonder if this Ryan Grepper from Portland, Oregon knew what he was on to here.
No, I don't think he did. I mean, I think he thought, all right, that first one didn't work out, but I bet if we tweak some things, which is exactly what he did, we could probably make our goal.
Yeah.
And he's like, really, we only need 50,000. I mean, he's probably thinking the opposite, right? He sets that goal lower thinking like, well, you could probably do it for 50,000, and that's more achievable. And we got 100,000 last time, so we, you know, that'll make sure it's success. I doubt very seriously he ever expected it to beat Pebble.
Yeah, no one did.
Yeah,
I wonder. So they got 57 hours to go. You think we hit 11 or more? Or
that's a good question.
Yeah, I mean that's $500,000 to go before they reach it. But I'm watching this counter; it's ticking up pretty quick.
Yeah,
like, it's doing it in real time, and I'm seeing plenty of people still buying this thing. So that's insane.
That's the momentum thing I'm talking about, right? And he did message the people from the first Kickstarter to get it going, which was really smart. Mm-hmm. Like he set the level lower, and then went to everybody who had already pledged the last time. Was like, hey, if you pledged last time, pledge again. Tell your friends, and that just that just got the momentum, and then they start telling friends, and then people start blogging and people on Twitter, and then now all the blogs are picking it up today. So once you hit that record amount, then suddenly everybody else like me knows about it, and then starts talking about it on the morning stream, and then more people, you know, and it just keeps going and going.
Yeah,
and going.
What is it? The no stone gathers no moss, or whatever the hell it is.
Stone gathers no moss.
No moss. No moss.
No moss.
No moss.
Wow,
no,
that's insane.
Moss from the It Crowd.
So what's our hot idea, guys? What are we doing here? What's our next big Kickstarter? Let's come up with something rad that will make
Here's the thing. You need stuff that makes people go, whoa, like Ibit did when we first talked about it. You're like, it's got everything, right? Mm-hmm. That's what's getting this thing.
Yeah, I'm representative of the...
Yeah.
Whoa, it's got a bottle opener and lights up inside and splits.
I think up with a thing that has lots of stuff on it. And call it the everything.
All right. I think you got, you're on. Okay, we're good. That's all we got. We need to know. Let's do this. I mean, this is having one of those problems that I was talking to a client about yesterday. He's trying to run a Kickstarter soon, and I'm helping them with it and doing some work for them. And they have the real potential of kind of blowing up pretty big. It won't be anything like this, but it'll be pretty big. And if it does... The scary part is if it really hits, like really hits, your reasonable idea for what it takes to fulfill orders and to fulfill people's reward levels suddenly takes on a whole new scary meaning if it goes really crazy. If you sell 150 of these, that's manageable. If you sell 5,000 of these, suddenly you are inundated. You're going to have to hire full-time people to do nothing but manage this and make sure, you know, stuff gets fulfilled. And it can get out of hand, like real quick. Like at some point, this guy's stoked, but he's also probably a little freaked out, you know? And I don't know how many people are involved or whatever, maybe a whole company of people. But to know that they've got now 39,000 plus orders to fulfill in some reasonable amount of time, it's a scary proposition.
Do you remember that commercial in the dot-com era of the folks gathered around their web hit counter? Mm-hmm. That dates it. And they're watching the numbers go up. And they're all excited, and then the number keeps going up, and they're jubilant, and then the number starts skyrocketing, and they're like, "Oh,
yeah,
crap!
What are we going
to
do?
All this? We have to have all the, we have to make all these orders."
Yeah, it's just, I just think it's important to keep that in perspective. I mean, even on small Kickstarters, ones I've run and stuff that have gone through, it's still. And Brian, you just finished up a major one with the music stuff. It's just so overwhelming how much crap you got to do.
Yeah, the fulfillment is so many people don't consider how involved and costly the fulfillment can be if you're not doing a digital product.
Yeah.
I'm still shipping out packages and will be for probably the next, got one big batch going out this weekend and then probably, for the rest of my life. Exactly.
Yeah. Best part about this thing is his first line. Regular coolers are boring. That's awesome.
They totally are. If I lived near a beach or if I went, you know, to the mountains regularly or like camped, I would have snatched one of these things up. I could just, unfortunately, as much as I use the coolers I have, the thing that's keeping me from using them is not the fact that they don't have a blender built in.
Mm. Yeah.
You thought.
So I thought, now it'll be like, well, now I've got one with a blender. Where can we go? Let's go somewhere and just blend stuff.
Yeah. Wow. Their website, too, is showing off all the places people are talking about it. Like, wow, this is pretty big. Well, I would call this a big tech story. Sure, why not?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
There's certainly some tech involved. Tom, you're off to La La Land down there.
I'm in La La Land.
Yeah.
I'm surrounded by it. It's everywhere.
It's everywhere all the time. Anything cool happening before you go or while you're there? Anything should people be watching for from Tom Merritt?
I'm headed to, I guess the cliche is to say Hotlanta.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So if people are going to be in Dragon Con, be sure to show up at the Hilton and the Marriott for the various things. The podcasting track is in room 203 of the Hilton. Now I know Scott has canceled everyone from being parents, so you should have no excuse not to come.
Yeah,
that's the rumor I heard.
Yeah, they've been floating around for a couple of days now.
He's banned people from being parents.
Yeah, he has actually banned anyone from becoming a parent.
Yeah,
you know? No. But speaking of nerd parents, you know, Nicole Spagnuolo and Brian Dunaway have been kicking butt putting together that podcasting track. So if you're going to be there, stop by. There's going to be all kinds of cool stuff, including FSL Tonight at 5:30 on Friday, Daily Tech News Show at 10 o'clock on Friday, Sword and Laser at 2:30 on Saturday in the Crystal Ballroom, I think. And then on Sunday, Cord Killers at 11 o'clock.
Good Lord. That's a lot of good, solid programming.
Yeah. And that's just the stuff I'm involved. There's also Night Attack, which I'm going to be on. There's also a ton of podcasting tracks I'm going to be on. There's also other podcasts like the Comedy Forecast. I know they're doing their show there. The Parsec Awards, hosted by me and freaking Justin Robert Young. Nicole Spagnuolo says 10 p.m. I don't know which 10 p.m. I said wrong, but check the schedule at TomMerritt.com.
Are you cosplaying at all? You going to see Tom in costume or no?
No.
Oh, it's too bad.
And it's not, you know, a lot of people are like, it's like when you're at a dance. Come on, just dance.
Yeah.
Come on, just costume. I'm like, yeah, I would love to do that time to do that thing. But I'm doing all these podcasts. So, you know what I always say? I'm cosplaying as a podcast.
Yeah, look at Tom's excellent podcast costume. Look, give him the award.
It's dead on. It's super accurate.
Yeah. Exactly. Couldn't do any better.
Was somebody cosplayed as me from Tech News Today a couple years ago.
Oh, that's awesome.
They just, you know, wore a beard.
Put a little mic in front of you. All good. Tom Merritt, everybody. DTNS later today. Watch and listen for that. And Ace Detect on Twitter. Follow him and see if you run into him at Dragon Con. Give him a little fist bump. Something cool like
that.
Yeah.
Just warn me first.
Yeah, let him know. Tom Merritt, everybody. See you later.
Thanks,
man.
Guys.
Bye now.
See you, Tom.
All righty. I think that does it for that.
Mm-hmm.
We have emails now.
Oh, I love emails.
Let's get to those. They're brought to you by...
Scroll, scroll, scroll. They're brought to you by nanobots, hackers, and AI. Oh, my. Control-Delete is an indie sci-fi film about sysadmins trying to escape their own data center when a Skynet-like artificial intelligence turns their workplace into a death trap. We're in the last days of our Kickstarter campaign, so don't wait. Help one of the Tadpool's own make his first feature film by going to tiny.cc/control-alt-delete before your world gets rebooted.
That seems like a good plan. Here you go with your email. At Amanda in Denver. You might know her. I don't know if you do or not.
Yeah, we all know each other here in Denver.
Everyone in Denver knows each other. Knows
that
there's
smoke pot.
Big,
we all
big wieners at the airport. Yep.
Yeah.
Scott and Brian, on Sunday night while on a walk with my greyhound. That's not her bus, but that's her dog. We were attacked by a loose pit bull. We'll be okay, but my dog is way worse off than I am. He had to have emergency surgery to repair major muscle damage and is now on the long road to recovery. Thank you for the smiles and giggles that y'all give me in the last few days and the days to come. Very grateful for those laughs and for the network. Amanda, I'm really sorry to hear that.
Yeah, no kidding.
Also,
best wishes to you. Jeez.
Wait, what's with the loose pit bull attacking?
I know.
That's weird.
God.
Pit bulls are generally considered to be
misunderstood,
right?
Yeah,
that they're not nearly the angry, pissed off dogs people think they are. But occasionally, a story like this comes out, and you're like, "Oh man, be careful, man." Hello says. Oh, by the way, I did try to go confront the duck or the goose yesterday, and he was out in the middle of the lake, so no go.
I like that you're going on your run, but you still have this kind of secondary objective, which is to confront the goose.
Well, it's been raining, and I think they may not like it on the land when it's raining. They'd rather be in the water. I'm not sure about that, but he just, for the last two rainy days, he was not interested. So I'll go today again. I'll let you guys know what I find.
Good.
Ryan wrote in, said, hello on Stump a Trek Nerd. The correct answer, the U.S. Potemkin. You had you guys curious. I thought I could help, and I think I can, but in the process, I probably confused myself too. Anyway, Battleship Potemkin is a great Russian film from the 20s about the pre/pro-Bolshevik mutiny by the crew of said ship. Now, U.S. is obviously United States. USS is a United spaceship, but the United States ship and USSR in Russia. You know what? This is kind of confusing. Now, Trek, United Nations. His point is, lately I've been having a mysteriously probably non-serious eye ailment. I'm moving on to this. Screw the ship thing.
Okay. Well, he's just basically saying that it's weird to have it be the USS Potemkin when it's not a U.S. ship or United Space ship, So
yeah, but they we're not the United States anymore. In the future,
really
Star
United
Trek future,
Federation of planets.
Yeah, it's a bunch of planets. The Earth is all unified at that point.
Yeah,
we still have our headquarters in San Francisco, which is pretty funny. But take that, Russia. Let's see. I've been having a mysterious, probably non-serious AI ailment, so my usual constant companions, films, and books aren't available to me. So your shows have been and are more immense help to me while I get this sorted out. The feeling of community, especially family. I mean, Scott's mostly, as he talks about them more. Sorry, Brian. Love you too, he says. are unlike any show that I know, as you probably know. And let's see, you can't make the show too personal. Your network is a perfect example of that odd thing where the more you speak about yourself, the better it is. Even complaints. Okay, that's the lot. Thanks much, Brian. Or Ryan, rather. P.S. Good luck with the duck. He's actually a goose, but thank you. Yeah.
Didn't rhyme with luck, though.
No.
By the way, Ryan, the reason I want to talk about my family more is because I hate every single one of them.
They're the worst.
They really are. Right? Anything I can do to distance myself from those people.
Some of mine might wish I did it less. So there's that. Hello, Seamus and Batista, says Ice Worm.
Okay.
Yesterday, Brian mentioned a goose being kidnapped and possibly eaten. Did you mention that? You did, I guess.
I did, yeah.
Mm-hmm. One time, a friend told me he was living in Michigan where there was a Chinese restaurant that sold a duck fish or duck dish. Sorry, there's no fish in dish.
Duck fish.
One time, he tried to order this dish, and they told him it needed to be ordered 24 hours in advance. He said they probably go to the park, capture the duck, and then cook it. Thanks, and take care. Ice Worm.
Yeah, that's common. I mean, usually at Chinese restaurants, Peking duck is the dish, and usually you do have to order it 24 hours in advance. And I don't know why that is. If they have to thaw the duck, or maybe they are going to
capture it and kill it. Yeah, who knows? Exactly. Jeez. Fresh duck. Maybe Peking duck can't be made unless it's freshly killed.
I've never had it either. I've always been curious about the Peking duck.
The Peking duck is the duck that sneaks around and just sort of looks at you from behind the wall.
Looks at you around the corner. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Peking duck.
Peking duck.
That's it for the show, everybody. Thank you for being here. Don't forget, we are here live every morning, 8 a.m. Mountain Time Zone, frogpants.com/live. For that, you can send in your music request to Brian at tiny.cc/TMS request. The emails should not be sent anymore. It should be going to that.
Yeah, although I do still have some emails I'm pulling from. So yeah,
we'll get them here and there. We're not going to ignore them, but, you know.
Exactly.
Start using that. tiny.cc/TMS. Requests on the web. You can find us at frogpants.com/TMS, themorningstream@gmail.com, on Twitter at morningstream, at Scott Johnson, at Coverville. And today, Coverville will be what?
It will be celebrating the 60th birthday of my favorite songwriter of all time. So when you look at my library and you look at who I have the most covers of, starts with the Beatles, number one. Yeah. Number two is Bob Dylan. Everybody likes to cover the Beatles and Bob Dylan. Number three is covers of and by Elvis Costello. Oh. And I love Elvis Costello. Just such a big fan of his songwriting, his really biting sarcasm, and so celebrating the man with covers of and by the 60-year-old Elvis Costello today on Coverville.
That sounds great. Veronica. That's
now there will be a cover of Veronica. There'll be a cover of Allison. There'll be a cover of
his lady friends.
Every day I write the book, all of his lady friends.
Brilliant. Wonderful. Well, everyone look forward to that. Coverville.com for deets. And speaking of music, let's... by the way, tomorrow we got to play this song. Well, maybe we won't play the whole thing. Well, I don't know. But somebody on... where did I put it? Melody Sheep is a fairly popular YouTube channel. Okay. And they do a lot of auto-tune kind of stuff, but it's not like auto-tune the news where it's all played for funny. It's mostly like serious versions of things. And they did this Robin Williams tribute called Seize the Day that is so freaking fantastic. We've got to play this song on the show at some point.
Yeah, let's throw it in tomorrow.
Yeah, it's really good. I tossed it and shared. You'll see it there. Melody Sheep is the thing on YouTube and give him full credit and all that. It's really fantastic. Oh my gosh. I just love it. Made me so happy to see it yesterday. Anyway, we'll play that maybe sometime or whenever you think is cool. All right. What do you got today? What are we doing?
Dear Segfault and Buffer, the 27th is my 33rd birthday. It would be awesome to hear a cover to celebrate. I've sent along some ideas of things I like, but I leave the ultimate decision in more than capable hands of Mr. Brian Ibbotson. Wow, that's funny. It's almost the same thing as the previous one said. Show's okay, I guess. Ben from Salt Lake, a.k.a. Wannabos in the chat.
Nice.
So So Ben likes Billy Joel. He likes Ben Folds. Anything by them or similar artists, and I wouldn't complain. And we talked a little bit about Eyes a minute ago in that email. Why don't we continue on that thought? Mm-hmm. Here's a cover of Jackson Browne's "Doctor My Eyes," covered by Ben Folds, back in 2002 for the Banger Sisters soundtrack. I don't even remember this film, but soundtrack had some covers. So hey, there's that. Mm. "Doctor My Eyes," Ben Folds.
All right, here it is. We'll see you guys tomorrow. We'll have Therapy Thursday and a whole bunch more fun. Stay tuned.
Doctor, my eyes have seen the years and the slow parade of fears without crying. Now I want to understand. I have done all that I could to see the evil and the good without hiding. You must help me.
So good, it's like you're there.
Jason.